our last message to close the year. So thanks to Pastor Raymond for giving me this opportunity to share. I'll do this so I can be heard a little bit better. Today's message is about pruning. And the title of the message is God's Pruning for Spiritual Fruit. So what we're going to talk about is the purpose of pruning, the examples of pruning in our lives, how I know if it's God's pruning, how can we cooperate with God's pruning, and just some reflections at the end. So when we think about things that come in and out of our life, there's things that we maybe used to own and cherish but no longer own. And one thing that came to my mind was when I was in high school, my girlfriend got together with two of her friends, and the three of them sewed this really cool vest for me. It was really cool. It was navy blue. What kind of fabric was that? Suede. Navy blue suede and green satin. So the front was blue, the back was green satin, and it had a little, belt to attach, and it was just really cool, and I felt really good wearing it. And they even they put their three names into one little thing to say who it was by. So it was really cool. However, it eventually wore out, and I never, got to enjoy that further. And also, I'd have to say, the girlfriend and I wore out. So we did not remain together. Things come and go in our lives. So it's just an example of something that used to be there, no longer there. And as Christians, we are used to changes in our lives that God brings about for our good and for our growth. And it may be possessions. It may be money. It may be people. It could be health. It could be hobbies, recreational pursuits. And the Bible refers to this as pruning, when there are intentional things that happen in our lives to draw us closer to Him, to make us better disciples, and to produce fruit. And that's, again, what the slide is all about. Producing fruit is the purpose of pruning. There's also that scripture in Hebrews that said, it talks about discipline, but discipline is another form of pruning. And it says, all discipline is painful rather than pleasant, but it yields a blessing in the future. So I'm going to go ahead and read our key passage today, which is John 15, verses 1 through 8. It's entitled, The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine. Again, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay? And so when I think about the idea of vine and branches, we have a lot of vineyards in our area, right? Especially go out to Livermore, the vineyards all over the place, Napa, Sonoma. And it used to be back in the day that Napa, Sonoma, and Mendocino were the counties that were known for growing grapes. But now it seems like all of California has become wine country. You got Paso Robles, and you got, you know, just different communities all have become wine producing and made all of California very fruitful in terms of wine production. So let's talk for a minute about the purpose. What is the purpose of pruning? I was going to say that the vine and branches, the vine is like that gnarly woody thing that goes along the trellis. The branches are what comes off of the vine. They're the new growth that comes off. So that's kind of the image. So think about grapevines and how they are pruned. So I read up on this a little bit, that pruning grapevines happens at two principal times during the year. Immediately following the harvest, the grapevines were pruned severely and all of the leaves taken off to induce dormancy. In the spring, the vines are trimmed for before and after blooming, and there's shoots. They thin the shoots, they thin the foliage, and encourage fruit development. So if you just let everything turn into leaves and shoots, there's not as much nutrients that will go to the fruit itself. So by taking off those excess shoots, there is going to be more production of grapes. The non-fruiting branches are pruned more severely to encourage growth and fruiting the following year. So that's just an interesting thing to know about how it works. I mean, I know nothing about growing grapes. I know my grandfather used to have some grapevines. He used to make his own wine back in the day before people did stuff like that. But he had a little place, he had a grapevine, he made his own wine, and it wasn't the greatest. But it was, you know, they enjoyed it. So how about our lives? The purpose of pruning in our lives is fruit production, right? And fruit production to glorify God. We, as we stay close to Christ, we experience loss. I think when we think about pruning, it's loss. When you think about, you know, how you get outside and you have a shrub, and it's really big and leafy, and you say, I'm going to prune this thing. And then after pruning, sometimes it looks like just sticks. And you know, your spouse may, what did you do to the shrub? It's gone. So it's like loss. It's a short-term loss. But then when it comes back in, it comes back healthy, full, vibrant, flowering, and it's part of the process. Pruning results in more fruit. So that's the hope in our lives, that when God prunes us, that we're being prepared for fruitfulness in the future. And when we think about fruit, let's throw it out to the audience. When you think of fruit, what kind of fruit should our lives produce when we're close to the vine? Okay, good and wholesome. So, for example, what would be a good fruit that could come out of our lives?
Any of the fruits of the Spirit.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. So, the fruit of the Spirit, that's important. What else? Any other kind of fruit that should come out of our lives? Of course, we want much fruit. We don't want little scraggly branch with just a few grapes. You know, we want these big old clusters of grapes. Okay, more growth.
Stability.
Okay.
As contrast, some people are always in trouble, always having problems, but I find that even when Christians have problems, there's a serenity. I won't say acceptance, but there's an ability to go through it without, you know, the sky swallowing them.
Yeah, there's a steadfastness
yes.
In knowing the Lord. Okay, well, some of the things that in the scripture that has fruit, well, we'll actually turn to a few of these passages. And one, of course, is godly attitudes. And that's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. So we'll look at that. It's in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. This is Paul speaking by the Holy Spirit, and he first talked about the acts of the flesh are obvious, and he talks about all these negative things that they're in our lives when we're apart from Christ. Then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So that's pretty obvious that the fruit of the Spirit should be apparent in our lives as God prunes and then as there's new growth. Another thing would be righteous behavior. I mean, behaving rightly obviously is a fruit of being close to God. And I'll read from Philippians. This is chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And this is Paul's prayer. He says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Another fruit that should come from our lives is praise. Just as this morning, as we share about things that are happening in our lives and how we can give praise to God in those things. And there's a scripture from Hebrews that talks about the fruit of praise. It's Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. So it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name, and do not forget to do good to others, to share, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Okay, and finally, one fruit is leading others to face faith in Jesus as Messiah. That's another fruit of our lives. And, of course, Paul talked about the gospel in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. So we'll take a quick look at Romans. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So these are all kinds of fruits that should be growing in our lives as we abide in Christ, as we are close to the vine. So what are some examples of God's pruning? Let's think about things that may need to be cut off because they are hindering our relationship to God. Sometimes it's a bad relationship, and not necessarily something that's horrible, something that is detracting or distracting us from God's purpose for us. So I, for example, during the early times of COVID, there is one friend that I met actually Christmas caroling, and I thought, oh, I'll get a hold of her, talk to her, and we started hiking together, and we did a lot of hikes and bikes together. But eventually, I found out that this person wasn't really a positive influence for me. And eventually, we had just kind of drifted apart for a bit. And then she recontacted me and said, hey, you want to go for a ride? And I said, yeah, I don't think so. I think I think no. So it was an example of someone that I had started a friendship with, but it turned out that she really wasn't, she wasn't one that was going to build me up. She was more one that was not going to build me up. So that's kind of just an example how, and I mentioned earlier that I'm this kind of person that when I have, I'm very goal-oriented. When I have a goal, it's like I'll do anything to get to that goal. And sometimes that can work against God's purposes. One example is we had this youth snow trip, and we ended up getting 3 feet of snow that day as we were driving up to Jeunesse Park in the mountains. And I just kept going. I just said, I'm not going to stop. I can't hardly see the road. Other cars are all pulled. I'm just going to keep going. So I ended up being among the first to get there, and everyone else had either pulled off or, you know, we're going to wait till things slow down, but I just kept going, and that's kind of my MO. And even with a friendship sometimes, there may be friends that I have that I realize, or even God may even say, you know, this person isn't right for you, and they're not going to be right for you in the future. But I keep trying to pull them back in and try, you know, it's just, it's a weird thing. So it's wisdom to know when God is showing you that that person shouldn't be part of your life. So I'm still learning that. Another thing that can need to be pruned is when we put security in something other than God, such as a job, a sport, a bank account. And sometimes we lose those things, and it's God's pruning. Sometimes God's pruning involves moving to a new, unfamiliar area. How about that? How many times have you heard about someone that moved across the country, and they said, oh man, we don't have any friends here, we don't like the weather, my job isn't going that well, you know, different things. But it's the challenge of being in a new area that can be part of God's pruning. Instead of just depending on what was safe and secure, we move on to something that's more challenging. And you know what? There's something about loneliness or not having people that draws us closer to God, gives us an opportunity to spend more time with Him and allow His presence to fulfill us, rather than always feeling like we need these people to fulfill me. Starting a new career can be a time of pruning. You know, you've done something for years and decide, you know what, let's try something different, or maybe God will direct you in starting something different. You know, I know several of us in this room have had new starts, and I think of Jim Deppner, that he had one whole career and went to something totally different, right? And I'm sure in that process you experienced God's pruning. And it you know, it worked out well, but there was pruning involved. Sometimes we have some bad habits that need to be pruned. Maybe a problem with debt, for example. Sometimes we just get in so much debt and we're spending too much, and we're not managing our money. And that's a habit that needs to be changed, and God's pruning can help that to happen. So, again, pruning usually involves some type of a loss, whether it's finances, possessions, personal influence, status, relationship, opportunities that we have. So a time of loss. How do I know if it's God's pruning? How do I know it's not just, hey, you know, life is life? Kathy's friend Mariana has a relative. They used to talk on the phone, and this woman always, she was an older woman, she always had this expression. She says, lifey life, what you gonna do, honey? So some life is just life, and you have to roll with the punches. But there's some signs that you're going through a season of pruning, and these may or may not apply, but, you know, one or more of these might apply. All of your plans fail. Okay, sometimes God just shuts the door on where you're trying to head. The door is shut. Another might be you find people are leaving your life. Feeling lonely is a sign that God is drawing you back to Him. Another sign is that you're making new divine connections with people, whether purposeful friendships or business connections. And that's interesting. I had a new friendship that started. I mean, this is someone that I had known for years, a running friend. But this year, suddenly we started playing chess together, and now we've made a new connection. And I feel this is something, someone new that God has brought into my life for a purpose, and I'm still, you know, working on that purpose, but I know that it's a new connection. There's changes in your life that hurt, but deep down you feel that they're right. The changes are painful, but you see that God is using them to sharpen you. Another is your trust in God deepens. You realize that God will restore and refine you. And isn't that true when a person of God goes through hardships? They see purpose in it. They see God's working in it. So anyway, these are just some, you know, there's no cut and dried way to know that this is God's pruning, but you can get a sense of it, that God is pruning in your life, that he's trimming, that he's taking out some of those excess branches. And I'll say a word about this. COVID really was used in many people's lives for pruning because so much activity, you know, so much going on that sometimes we get lost in the activity. We're busy rushing from one thing to the next thing, and then we don't have that time to really contemplate our relationship with God, to spend time in fasting and prayer, to spend time maybe serving, things that, but with COVID, when everything came to a stop, we had to face the fact that, is my life all about busyness? Or is it more about, you know, God's purpose for my life? What is God's purpose for me? What are things I should be focusing on? And I think that COVID helped some of us to kind of focus more on what the real significant parts of life are. So again, as the scripture says, it's painful rather than pleasant. I don't think anybody wished that we could go through what we went through these last 2 years and go through that again, right? It was painful, and it continues to be painful, but God is going to bring fruit because of that in our lives. Now, we need to cooperate with God's pruning. I've already said how I tend not to be that cooperative. I just kind of keep pushing forward and trying to make something work. But oftentimes, you know, God does close those doors and, you know, take away things that we think that we should be seeking. Let's look at James. So the first way to cooperate with God's pruning is to accept trials as a blessing. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 speaks about the blessing of trials. The book of James, chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 2 through 4. And this is very counterintuitive. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So how about that? Count it joy. Consider it pure joy. Okay. Anyway, accept trials as a blessing. Next, trust God to use our pain to make us more like Christ. Again, the pain of pruning is real. It's real. But trust God to use that for his purposes. Next, pray for God to remove the dead wood in my life, the sins in my life, the bad habits, the wrong influences, the overextending of ourselves. That's, you know how they say certain things are dangerous prayers to pray? One is praying for patience. Jim Hicks likes to talk about that one. He says, you pray for patience, you end up with a lot of trials because God produces patience through trials. Same thing when you pray for God's pruning, that's a bold prayer. It's very bold. But if we want to be to bear much fruit, not just the straggly few little strands of fruit that we may be producing, but much fruit. We need to pray for God to remove those things in our life that don't belong and to prepare us for more expansive fruit ministry in the future. So I'll challenge you with that one. Be bold enough to pray for God's pruning. One thing that I gained through the pandemic when my activities came to a stop is I was forced, so to speak, to spend more time in worship. And on every Sunday, when we started on Zoom, we'd have our worship service. I'd do one Saturday night. I'd do two more Sunday afternoons. I was just in worship all Saturday night and Sunday because, geez, I had nothing else to do. And so that was a good thing that the pandemic brought to my life, more opportunity for worship and being exposed to different speakers, different ways of worship. So that was a blessing for me. But again, I wouldn't have asked for this to happen, but it was something that blessed me. On Christmas Eve, one of the services I went to was the service at Prince of Peace Lutheran on Fremont Boulevard, as I have a couple of friends that worship over there. And they did a really nice job with the service. And afterwards, the pastor was chatting with people, and he came over and he says, "Oh, you know, hi." And I shared with him that I really appreciated the work that he did during those early months of lockdown in the pandemic, because he did a great job with his messages that he was bringing, and it was very, very helpful. So sometimes, you know, feeding from different sources will help us to grow in Christ. And he was, I thanked him for being that faithful servant of God that continued teaching despite not being able to gather as the church, but using Zoom. Okay, another way to cooperate with God's pruning is to accept that if a door closes, it's because what was behind it wasn't meant for you. You remember that show? I think it's The Price is Right, where you had the doors. You could choose door one, door two, door three. And, you know, door one might be a car, but you don't know that. Door two might be a cow. Door three might be, some cosmetics. I mean, you know, there's vast differences between what's there. But with God closing a door, sometimes you just need to accept that and not try to kick it open, not try to get around it, this and that. And it wasn't meant for you. There's a lot of good things in the world that are not meant for us, for our lives. It may be good for someone else, but for us, it's going to detract from an opportunity to minister. So here's another thing. You know how with a sentence, there's a period at the end? But it's easy to want to try to turn that into a comma and keep going. So to cooperate with God's pruning, don't try and turn a period into a comma. You have to know when something is over and move on. So that's a big challenge for me, knowing when to move on and to leave something behind. It's true about relationships, too. I mean, there's a lot of good people out there, but sometimes they're just not the right person for you to spend time with. Maybe God has a plan for you to do something special in the new year, but this person is going to kind of detract from that. And you need someone who's going to be on the same page and encouraging you rather than, you know, kind of dragging you back. Okay, so here's a few reflections to look at. How about this? You know, a lot of the land, the vineyard land in Judea was not the most greatest land. It could be rocky, it could be dry, it could be kind of sparse, but for some reason, you could grow good grapevines there. It's bad to over-fertilize a vineyard. Over-fertilizing can cause just a lot of excess growth of leaves and sprouts and this and that, but not the fruit that you're looking for. So think about the soil that of our lives. Do we have too many good life nutrients in it? Are we too busy? Are we generating a lot of activity and a lot of leaves, but no fruit? Okay, it's really possible for the good to get in the way of the best. It can be a detriment to producing spiritual fruit. So slow down, okay? And again, that's something that the pandemic taught us, is sometimes we need to slow down to focus on what's important and what God has called us to do. We need to intentionally position our life close to Jesus, close to his feet, grow as disciples. We're not going to yield any fruit unless we're close to him, we're totally in contact with him, listening to him, spending time with him, drawing close to him and his teachings. So let's focus on that. Now, pruning is not a one-time deal. You don't just prune a bush, it grows back, and then you're done. Okay, then you got to shape it, you got to prune it again, you got to keep working on it. Same thing with us in our lives. Are we satisfied with being pruned once every 10 years? We think, okay, we've had our pruning, now we can just go on and get lazy again. No. We should be able to see the need for continual pruning. God's pruning doesn't just happen once every 10 years. There's a need for continual pruning for us to grow and to continue to produce much fruit. So think for a second about what you might think is the next thing that God needs to start pruning in your life. Is there something that comes to mind, something that's there that just needs to be cut back so that there can be further growth? We're always to praise and thank God for the past events and circumstances that have prepared us for future growth. And we hear this all the time in testimonies of how things, you know, at the time, they seem like, man, this is horrible, but then God brings good out of it. That Romans 8:28, for God works together for good, works together all things for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. He makes those things work out for his glory, for his blessing in our lives. And finally, let God remove the wrong people in your life. Like I said, I'm the one that just wants to hold on to everybody. I never want a relationship or a friendship to end. I just want to be close and keep that closeness forever, right? But God brings people in and out of our lives. Some relationships and friendships are for a season. They are for this period of time, but then you move on and, you know, you're in different places. So, you know, I'm blessed that I have a lot of people in my life that I've known for years and years, and I've been able to maintain friendships and relationships. But that's not always the case. And there's people, not everyone can go with you to the place God is taking you. Some of those people are just not going to be the right fit. God can't bring us to this place if we're holding on to this person or this friend or this relationship. So that, again, that's, to me, that's a very wise thing to think about. And I'm going to, this is what kind of made me think about this idea of pruning, is I have someone that I follow on the internet who's a businesswoman, and she comes up with this, and she's a devout Christian, and she comes up with these little sayings that she shares. So here's one of them. It says, God keeps trying to protect you by removing the wrong people in your life or business, but you keep trying to pull them back in. Now, how about that? God is trying to protect us, and we're working against him by trying to, I got to get this person to be in my life instead of letting them go. It says, not everyone can go with you where God has you going. They may be good people, but heavy weight for what he's got planned next for you. Okay? So quit trying to fix what isn't broken. Let them go. So again, that's a challenge for me because I hate to see things end. And I like to, for things to continue forever, but that's not God's way. God brings people into your life. God takes people out of your life. And we need to recognize that. Okay, so anyway, so we talked today about pruning, about the purpose of pruning, examples of pruning, how I know if it's God's pruning, and how we can cooperate with God's pruning. So I guess my main challenge to you today is to pray for God's pruning and to cooperate with it as it comes. And that, again, it's bold, but I will pray right now that would be how God works in our lives and that we are going to be ones to have that happen. So let's go to the Lord. Thank you, God, for your wisdom in John chapter 15 and this whole idea of pruning and helping us to be more fruitful. And I right now ask you to bring pruning into our lives. Give us the courage to continue to seek your pruning because we know it's for our betterment and for your glory, to make us more effective servants, to make us more Christ-like, to make us able to make a difference in the world. So bring the pruning. Help us to receive it as from you. Help us to grow from it and to continue to praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.